Hello, friends. This is the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW here on 1150 AM in Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States and North America. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know with everyone's help, we can make the Earth a much, much, much better place. I want to thank Jane Mason for coming on my show during this past hour. She was just wonderful. I love her attitude. And she, again, will be having a wonderful conference in beautiful Adelaide, South Australia from September 18th to the 21st, 2017. And I hope you can all come. I have now on the line, we'll be going to him in a few minutes, a wonderful gentleman named Michael Horn. He's the American representative of a gentleman named Billy Meyer, an amazing man who's been in direct physical contact with the Pleiadians, or Pleiadians, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, since the early 1940s, when they physically appeared before him when he was a small boy in Switzerland, a little mountain village just outside Zurich. I actually visited Mr. Meyer's farm in November or December 1994, and it was just an amazing place. They can time travel, and so they can predict with great accuracy future events. I know that our interview today is going to be just simply amazing. Michael's website for more information is www.theyfly.com, and he's also on Facebook and on YouTube. With that, what I'd like to do is play a few minutes of it's a recording that was made at Billy Meyer's farm, I believe in 1976 or 1977, of a beam ship, a UFO that was taking off from his farm, a benevolent beam ship, and I think you'll find this recording simply out of this world. Please stay tuned. We'll play that now for a few minutes. Wasn't that amazing? They did a music analysis of that recording back in the late 70s, and the music was very difficult to reproduce. It would take music equipment back then, which would have cost millions of dollars, and I believe it is in fact genuine. And with that, what I'd like to do is bring on Michael Horn. Michael, hi, how are you today? Thank you so much for coming on my show.
It's my pleasure, Ted. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a little while since we spoke.
Well, it's been too long, and I want to tell you that I believe my own soul is from the Pleiades constellation. I've been here a long time, and one of the books that I read years ago, back in the 70s, was called, I'm sure you've seen it, called UFO Contact from the Pleiades. It was by Lieutenant Colonel Wendell Stevens, and he had a lot of information from Billy Myers, and it was my dream to actually to visit his farm outside Zurich. He lives in little town outside of Zurich, Switzerland, and I was there back in December of 1994, and they showed me, Michael, I got some pictures of Pleiadians who'd visited Billy Meyer, and they looked, in Earth terms, Michael, maybe around 30 years old or so, but I was told by the staff there that those people were actually 300 years old, because the Pleiadians live at least 1,000 years, sometimes more. And as the other thing too that they told me is that as you spiritually progress, we humans get younger and younger, and looking anyway. And I thought that was just an amazing picture. But I want to stop talking now and let you explain a little bit about how did you ever end up being a representative for Mr. Meyer here in the United States?
Well, Ted, what happened was I first got information on the case from that wonderful photo book put out by Genesis 2, I think it's called, from Wendell and Lee and Britt Elders. Mm-hmm. And it's 1979, 8 years later or so, actually 7 years later, 1986 in Sedona, Arizona, I happened to meet a guy in an old restaurant who got to talking about, you know, so-called paranormal things and what have you, and UFOs, of course, came up, and the next thing you know, we're talking about, you know, Billy Meyer. So that led to my wanting to get, you know, more information. And he had provided me, after we met there in L.A., he provided me with, oh, the 1,800 pages of the first what are called the contact reports. They were also called the contact notes for a while. These were transcripts, and they are, because these contacts go on to this day, and Meyer is still transcribing and publishing them. Mm-hmm. These are conversations between Meyer and the people who are actually called the Pleiaren, the J being pronounced like a Y, the Pleiaren. Mm-hmm. And they are a human race, space traveling race, whose ancestors going back very, very long ago were also space travelers. Mm-hmm. In some cases, they were kind of Star Wars warriors on steroids. You know, they did it all, and they created a lot of havoc and messed things up quite a bit. Mm-hmm. In some ways. And then some 52,000 years ago, they finally settled themselves down to become peaceful people. Well, I was very interested in all this information. I read everything that was available to me at the time. In 2000, I had joined a study group in LA. Mm-hmm. that read and discussed Meyer's material. And that was the first year that I went to visit Billy and his family and his group members. Mm-hmm. The first of my 17 visits now to Switzerland. Mm-hmm. And I've met with him every time, and I've interviewed him, and I've interviewed other, you know, family members, other eyewitnesses. I'm an eyewitness to Kraft. So stuff like this has kept me very busy doing all the research and publishing documentation, taking it beyond the UFO part alone, which is authentic. Mm-hmm. Going to what I call the higher standard of proof, that being the prophecies and predictions based on scientific and world event related information that Meyer has consistently published up to decades before the events even occur or the discoveries are made. And then to the third step of the whole process, which is the core reason for the case, for the context, and that's the spiritual teaching in the Meyer material.
Well, that's wonderful, Michael. I'm so happy to have you on today. Going back to time travel, one of the books I read several decades ago, it had pictures where Billy was taken aboard a Pleiaren spacecraft. He went back. I'm trying to remember now. He went back maybe 100 years in Switzerland, and there was a tree. Actually, I'm trying to remember all the details. There was. Do you know this story about the tree?
Yes, it's not. He didn't go back 100 years. Actually, okay. Happened was, and it happened more than once.
Okay.
What happened several times is that the Pleiaren would have Meyer come and actually film their craft near trees, in some case near a tree in a farmhouse and what have you. This was done to establish the size of the craft next to objects of known size as well. Mm-hmm. Now, in some cases, what happened was they actually would blank out the memory of the property owner where, let's say, a tree or a house was, mainly where trees were, things like that. So what happened was that they would blank out the memory and leave the tree, or they would actually remove the tree in time and take it back to a different time and place and plant it. Mm-hmm. So it would actually grow somewhere else. It's pretty mind-boggling. Yeah. And to be honest, you can't really do anything with that. You can't prove that that's true,
right,
or not.
Right.
But it's a very, very fascinating bit of business, to put it mildly. So that's part of the controversy in the case. You know, people say, oh my goodness, you know, where'd the tree go, and never was there, and this and that.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you're speaking to the choir here, so don't worry about people questioning you here. But I was going to ask you, too, if I have the facts straight, Michael, it's been years ago since I read this in one of the books about Billy, was that Pleiaren had taken him to, was it 11th or 12th century medieval France, where he brought a flashlight with him and he gave it to someone back then, and then
yes.
he comes up to the 20th century and then looks in these old archives of medieval history and finds a reference to it.
Well, actually, somebody else found a book that actually told that the story of that particular man who was a kind of eccentric. I believe they said he was actually a rabbi. Yeah, and that, you know, the book tells how people in the area, villagers or whatever, were regarded the guy as a kind of a wizard and a strange fellow, and strange light would emanate from his home, that being the lantern that they had left with him, the flashlight lantern. And when they were there, Meyer, along with Asket and with a Russian vagabond, a guy who was a really interesting character that they took with them on their time travel trips, they hooked up a wire from the battery. He showed him how to do this. It must have been one of those 6 volts or something.
Right.
Run the battery to the metal door knocker so that when the villagers would come and grab the metal, they'd get a shock. And they were really confused what the heck was happening, you know. So, again, somebody then finds a book years later where the story's being told about this eccentric rabbi who had this strange light, and the villagers thought he was a, you know, some kind of a wizard or worse. And there it is in the Meyer material.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. I hope you don't mind me asking all these questions, but it...
Please.
Your story and Billy Meyer's story is so fascinating. The other thing, too, that really caught my eye was when the Plejaran gave the size of this universe, which they said was 10 to the... It was the speed of light times 10 to the 200th exponential power, which is a big universe. It's a big universe.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, recently I did. I published a blog where I linked to some of the discussion Meyer had, I think as far back as 1979, about, you know, the nature of the size of the universe and the speed of light and all this stuff. And here you've got a so-called simple one-armed Swiss farmer who's writing this stuff out and publishing it back then.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, it's well, well beyond my level of what do you call it?
Your pay. Yeah, your pay. Way beyond your pay grade.
So. Exactly. A good way to put it.
How funny. Well, there's another picture in one of the books I have, too, where Billy is taking a picture from this Plejaran UFO that's actually leaving this universe into the adjoining universe, which they call the DAL, the Dahl universe. And maybe you know more about this than I do, but Simaje, was that, am I pronouncing that correctly?
Simjaze. No, it'd be like a Y again. The J is Y. Simjaze.
Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you so much. When Simjaze was injured in this universe, and instead of having her recuperate in this universe, they took her to the Dahl universe, and where she was spending time there to recuperate. I don't understand all the details. Maybe you could share that a little bit.
Well, yeah, again, this is the kind of thing that I put in the category. I always say to people, according to the information in the case, or this is speculative, because I can't prove those events. I mean, it's said that she was taken to the Dahl universe because the Dahl, the people in the Dahl universe, the Timar people, of who the race of which Asket is a member, are more scientifically advanced in certain ways than the Plejaran, and the Plejaran have a higher level of so-called spiritual development.
Interesting.
That being said, since I can't prove it, yes, that is the story. She was taken there. However, we do have two photos. I have them on my website, taken from inside of a craft, of two discs outside of the craft that Meyer took in Switzerland, above Switzerland. So it's really quite amazing, because I'm going to double check while we speak if both of them have the two discs on them or not. Mm-hmm. But for certainly they have, I'll know in literally a second here, hopefully. What we do have and what we do know is that there is a tremendous number of, you know, photographs that are incontrovertible in terms of their authenticity.
Oh, yeah.
However, but with the two photographs, these are remarkable because they are clearly taken above the countryside with two craft right there.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure. Now, I have to ask you another question, too. And you're just, it's so interesting to have you on today, Michael. The other thing, too, I read in one of the books, that I've got, is that back in the, it was, I think, in the 70s or 60s, where the Plejaran, if I have the right pronunciation,
Plejaran.
Had a new model, the new and improved spacecraft, and this new and improved model was able to go into different dimensions, and you could tell the new model because they had all these little balls, silver balls around them, around the top of it.
Right,
and
you
didn't see that in the older models, so it's kind of like getting a new car with all these new bells and whistles.
Right.
But I wanted to run that by you. That was real interesting. I myself came here 52,000 years ago after a civil war, and I think I was they just dropped me off here at planet Earth, so I've been here since that time. So for me, the Plejaran are kind of like family, and you're kind of like family too. There are my family. I mean, it's been a long time, but it's nice to get in contact with you again and with them again as well.
Well, you know, I cannot say with certainty anything about the people who may or may not have come here. I can say that what the Plejaran state is that, and Meyer relays, that there are approximately 52 million spirit forms or human spirits that are in the reincarnation cycle on Earth, meaning that not all are incarnated at any given time, but that people who are extraterrestrial, spirit forms extraterrestrial in origin, mm-hmm. who've come here throughout the past from whenever and from wherever, and that lived and died here will be, you know, they reincarnate here. The universe is full of human life, so it's not all that fancy in a strange way. It's like if you die on a planet, that's where you reincarnate. So,
right.
It's said that that's what goes on here.
I wanted to ask you, we talked to your, this is interesting, because you were on my show, I believe, on March 14th, 2014, and I so enjoyed you being on the show back then, Michael. And for those interested, you can go to my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com and click on the little tab at the top that says Past Guests, and you go to 2014, and you'll see Michael's wonderful interview that he did for me on the show there back in March of 2014. But it's interesting to talk about predictions as well, because the Plejaran do time travel, and I wanted to ask you about what have they seen for the future.
Oh, my goodness. Well, as you know, Billy go ahead.
In 10 words or less.
In 10 words or less.
No, you have more than that, but go ahead.
I'll start with this to say that they have consistently foretold future events accurately. That's probably 10. Let's see. They have consistently foretold future events. Hey, that's seven words there. I have on my website and on my blog specifics on all of that. Now, certain things that they have warned about, humanity has managed to alter so far to the better. Many things we have not. And there are, you know, even as far back as 2008, I posted a link in one of my blogs showing that the Plejaran actually were foretelling that Hillary Clinton wouldn't become the president.
Oh, fascinating. Fascinating.
Yeah, and not only that, but there, you know, Meyer is the first person beginning in 1951 to foretell man-made climate change, global warming, the damage to the environment, the increased frequency and intensity of earthquakes and volcanic eruptions. He foretold, you know, from that point on, he foretold specifically by name AIDS, the Ebola epidemic, the two U.S. Iraq Gulf wars. It goes on and on and on. And unfortunately, one of the things that Meyer published as a warning for the future, he published it both in 1981 and 87, and that is we are going to have two coming civil wars in America.
Well, I hope that's not true, but interesting. Okay.
Well, you know, the polarization in the country along so many lines is only increasing, politically, racially, religiously, culturally, economically, etc.
Right.
And we can see this. So unless people recognize this fracturing that's taking place and want to turn themselves more to what we call the spiritual teaching, which, by the way, is a non-religious, belief-free teaching, just like you would study something.
Sure.
A teaching on how to think and how to live in peace, in love, and freedom, and harmony, unless we are in greater numbers doing that and letting that influence spread out, we will see that foretelling become real, and that's just the way cause and effect works.
Well, I have to thank you so much for mentioning that, because I have a lot of listeners worldwide, and I don't think anybody out there wants disharmony and conflict. The thing that I've realized over the years is that we're all one with the Supreme Being. We all have the spark of the Creator within us. So if we harm someone else, Michael, we're actually harming ourselves. And, we have our problems here in the United States. Of course, there's conflict around the world, too. But I talked a little bit about what was going on in North Dakota now with the oil pipeline. There's over 10,000 people there right now. Protesting and trying to the pipeline and trying to protect these native, it's not only the water but some ancient Native American burial sites, and I asked everyone to spend a couple of minutes and just send prayers there, love and light, because we're powerful spiritual beings, and I know that our prayers really really do help, and I appreciate the warning, but I don't look at it. We can always change the future too. If we know something is potentially bad coming, Michael, I'm always of the belief that we can always change our future and make it much better. It doesn't have to happen.
If we act in time, because
true.
Everything that is foretold in the Meyer material, it's not mystical. Mm-hmm. It's not even paranormal. Mm-hmm. It all is projected based on the law of cause and effect.
Sure.
And so when people... And some of these prophecies actually date back over 10,000 years.
Wow.
They're not just coming from Billy Meyer within the last 30 years. I mean, he has, but a lot of these come from this lineage of prophets, of which he is a part of, said to be the seventh and final one. So one thing that you and your audience might want to know that would interest them is that as of yesterday, I did announce that the new translation of the Talmud, Immanuel, is available. Now, those two words may not ring as being familiar to people. So if I may, Ted, I'll just briefly explain what that is.
Oh, please do. Please do. I was going to bring something up on that, but you beat me to it. Go right ahead, Michael.
Okay.
Oh, and by the way, off air after the program, could you ask Billy for the winning lotto numbers for next week? I'd love to win. It would be so nice. And just if he has those for me. Thanks.
It's funny. I'll take a moment to address that. We have a film. It's actually freely available online now. It's called The Silent Revolution of Truth. And in that film, Billy actually tells about what happened when some people got some information from him and decided to use it to try to profit in the from it, knowing certain things, and that it didn't turn out well for them because, it's not designed for that purpose.
But I'm kidding, of course.
Of course, I know. But this is so that people who are listening will understand. Yes, we understand how we would all want to, know certain things. But there's some things that are worth even more. But
What you could do? I could have another show with you on if Billy wanted to give the winning numbers for the lotto, and then I could give them out on the air publicly, and then everyone who buys tickets would become an instant millionaire. I think that would really help a lot.
It might if everybody had first become an instantly highly evolved person.
Spiritually
able to
evolved. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not that easy, unfortunately, for people to master handling money. Most lottery winners, in case you didn't know, don't end up in very good shape. They they end up losing all their money. It's not usually a very good thing. I understand the desire for people, wanting to have great wealth, et cetera, et cetera. But it doesn't always turn out to be particularly
Michael,
beneficial.
Michael, yeah. Do you have an electronic dog there or something? There's these.
Somebody was trying to Skype me. I'm sorry.
Okay.
And I'm not picking it up, of course. So
okay.
I'll deal with that. I just hung it up. I realized it just occurred to me, wait, that might be annoying. You might be hearing that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
With that. But to talk about the Talmud Immanuel and kind of introduce people to what that's about.
Mm-hmm.
The Talmud Emmanuel is said to be the real, true teaching of Emmanuel, who is said to be the real man and the real name of the real man who was falsely named Jesus Christ. Yeah. Now, this is nothing people have to either believe or get upset about, certainly.
Right.
This is information. Billy is one of the co-discoverers of these documents in Jerusalem. I believe in 1963 or 4, he and an ex-Greek Orthodox priest co-discovered these resin-encrusted animal skin wrapped scrolls. I try to say that and I trip over it every time, in a very, very ancient tomb in Jerusalem. Now, this is a very interesting thing because highly controversial. There's a whole story that goes along with it. People can, you know, see this information on my website, and if they're interested in it, they can, you know, get the book. I announced it yesterday, and in less than 6 hours, all the current order of books were sold out. Yeah, there's a lot of worldwide interest in this, strangely enough, even though most people have never heard about it. So, this is said to be the true teaching and writing of the man whose real name was Emmanuel, who indeed was crucified, but who survived the crucifixion. This book, when it first came out in English many years ago, it attracted the attention of a professor named James Deardorff, who was up at Oregon State University, as a matter of fact, and he thought it was probably a Bible hoax. So what he did is he set out to debunk it, and a year and a half or two later, he came out with a book called Celestial Teaching, and basically, or Teachings, and basically what he says is this is the real, true writing of Emmanuel, who was the man upon whom the life of Jesus Christ was based, and it's not the other way around. This book answers unresolved issues in Matthew that now make sense when you read what is told in the Talmud Emmanuel.
Fascinating.
Oh, yeah, it is amazing. And this book explains, here's a kicker for everybody, there were 17 female disciples. Never made it into the Bible when they were hacking that book up.
Right.
17 females who were part of the just, you know, this amazing mission of this man who did live 2,000 years ago. Now, when we say somebody named Jesus Christ who never lived, one of the strange things for people who are kind of research-oriented, if you go and you plunk in a name in the Google like Julius Caesar, you're going to find there's all sorts of biographies and, you know, books about Julius Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
There is absolutely no historical record that a man named Jesus Christ ever lived. None. Mm-hmm. And there were 60 historians living in that area at the time. Mm-hmm. So it kind of, it really kind of, you know, begs the question of, well, wow, what happened here? So what is this book, the new translation, has a great deal of explanation to how Emmanuel did healings, what he didn't do, what he didn't do, what, you know, things that were supposedly miracles and all, and just how things really accorded much more with reality, with the laws of physics and cause and effect, and what a brilliant person he was to understand human beings and to help them heal themselves through suggestion. We might even call it these days a little bit of hypnosis through herbs and salves, which he was a master of. So it's a whole other thing, plus very deep, you know, texts and understandings of what the man went through, and the fact that Judas was not his betrayer. The true scribe, as it's described in this book, is Judas Iscariot, not Judas Iscariot, who was the son of a Pharisee. And that was the person who betrayed Emmanuel and who hung himself. And all. I mean, you know, this is like, what on earth is this guy talking about? Mm-hmm. It really is that fascinating.
Well,
a book.
I have to tell you, I'd love to get a copy. When we get off air, please tell me how to get one. But I was going to tell you that I used to live in India for several years, and once I was on a bus in northern India, and the bus stopped at this memorial, this huge, it's like a shrine with this huge casket. And I was told there it was the tomb of Jesus, or Emmanuel, if you the other name.
Shrine India. It's
yeah. Shrine. Yeah, and he had all these descendants, and he lived on after the crucifixion, and had a family and everything, and all his descendants are also buried there too. It's in northern India near Srinagar, and it's a fascinating thing. That's where I first learned about it many decades ago when I was living there.
Yeah, Ted, you know, it's interesting because there's also a tomb for his mother, Mary, mm-hmm. and probably one of the descendants who wouldn't be buried there would have been Joseph, a son of his, who was the one who took the scrolls down to Jerusalem 70 years after the events there, after the crucifixion, mm-hmm. and buried them in that tomb. Mm-hmm. So Emmanuel married an Indian woman. Her name is given in something like Ike Kira or something. It's in the New Talmud, and it explains this. He, you know, it's fascinating. He died somewhere between about 110, 115 years of age. And mm-hmm. In that tomb, at the base of that tomb where that sarcophagus is, there is this inscribed into the stone, there's like the outline for two human feet with dots in the center where nails would have been driven in. And the legend is something like, here lies a great teacher who was crucified in his own country and came to teach us. And you're right. And there's a German guy who wrote a book about this some years ago too. Well, Meyer and this Greek ex-Greek Orthodox priest are the people who discovered the hidden scrolls there. And finally, the final translation, all corrected with every bit of, you know, the right information, took a couple of years to do, is published. And I don't know if people know my website offhand. It's called theyfly.com. Mm-hmm. And you'll see the info right there for the Talmud. And there's tons of info on the website, and there's a link to my blog. I've got people from 187 countries have been visiting both, and mm-hmm. we have very active conversations. So yeah, come on down. You know?
That's amazing. That's amazing. You know, I have to tell you that the way I look at things is that I know that we're powerful spiritual beings with the entity that created all of this, God, if you will, and we're co-creators with higher spiritual forces, and we create the reality that we live in. And I know everyone listening, I'm sure everyone listening to this show today around the world wants to create a better planet and a happier place. That's the purpose of my programs, to raise consciousness and make us make the planet a better and happier place. Yeah. And so when you mentioned earlier about the possibility of civil war here in the United States, I think given some of the conflicts we have here, it's a possibility. But I personally, Michael, just from my own perspective, I don't see it happening, because I think people will come together and in harmony to work things out before it gets to that point. But, you know, we'll see. But I'm an eternal optimist, and I believe that our future is very, very bright.
Well, you know, in a sense, the information in the case would agree with you to the degree that they're saying that ultimately, eventually, we will straighten ourselves out down here. The difference may be in the perspectives for those of us, you know, that want it sooner than later, is that in order for us to avoid literally centuries of great suffering,
right,
we have to now correct the course direction we are on. Mm-hmm. And that's what really the core purpose of this case is, to help us assure our own threatened future survival. There is no pessimism or, you know, hyper positivity. This is the information of the case is given from a pretty neutral but concerned perspective, based on what is known to and accessible to the Pleiaren and to Meyer, based on the laws of cause and effect. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, you have now expanded your reach into the world with your media, from what I understand.
That's right.
That means that your ability to help awaken people to the realities and to the remedies, that's increased. And mm-hmm. I should tell something, because along the lines of what you're saying, the Playar and Meyer foresaw a Third World War could have happened even 20 years ago.
I agree. Yeah, that's true.
And it's not just because of Meyer and the Playaren,
right,
except what it is that enough people in the world who are well-intended, who are, you know, are concerned and conscious and want to see spiritual truth and love and peace,
right,
all people from, even there are people in religions and groups and with no affiliations, and then there are the people working with the peace meditation in the Meyer case. I give it, you know, I'm giving out a free CD on that with every book too, so mm-hmm. that's another story, but mm-hmm. all the people of goodwill and good intention with all of the efforts made have helped to push back, to keep pushing this confrontation back.
Right.
Hopefully we never have it, but we can't, you know, we can't drop our, you know, our diligence, and we can't our awareness, and we can't waver in wanting to keep this evolutionary spiral of truth and love and all the good stuff going. The peace meditation in this case, and then I'll shut up for a second, but peace meditation was given to us, I think it's far back as 1988, and part of the realization there is the our peace symbol, the one we're familiar with on Earth, is actually a symbol for death. And all this time, we're walking around carrying it. So we have free information on correcting that and all of this. So all I can say is, I'm a realist, and my personal mission is to help prove the prophecies wrong.
Good. Yeah, me too. Me too. Well, I have to tell you a quick little story, Michael, if I may. I used to listen to Art Bell quite a bit on Coast to Coast back in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
And my spirit guides kept telling me, don't listen to him. He's too negative. Now, personally, I liked his shows, but I think they were right. He was very negative sometime, and he acted like the end of the world was coming on January 1st, 2000. So what I did is that I bought several thousand dollars of storable food. I bought a house in the middle of nowhere in eastern Washington, isolated. And you know what happened on the morning of January 1st, 2000? Nothing.
That's right.
My cat was still with me. The electricity still worked. The TV still worked. And I thought, what a fool I've been to listen to this negativity. So I ended up donating all the food to a food bank. I ended up moving eventually, selling the house at a loss. And there was a set of books I have to tell. The second story quickly is from Dolores Cannon. Do you know Dolores Cannon before she passed away?
I had met her, yeah.
Okay. I really liked her. She's a wonderful psychic. And she and a group of her psychic students, actually, this was done in 1986, 87, and 88. They actually time-traveled back to Nostradamus in the 15th, 16th century France and asked him about World War III and problems. And there's a three-volume set called Conversations with Nostradamus. I think it's still in print by Ozark Mountain Publishers in Arkansas. It's a good set of books, but the only problem with it is that the timeline has changed. And through the, because they had forecast World War III starting in the Balkans in the 1990s, and by now we'd be in this terrific civil war here in the United States, in a worldwide war. None of that happened. Sure, we've had conflicts, but they've been muted as a result of that. So that's what it tells me, that I think the timeline has changed. And actually, I've been in contact with Nostradamus on the other side now for the past 2 years, and he himself has said that he's ripped up his old quatrains regarding World War III. But he looked at me directly last year, and he said, "What kind of future is humanity going to create now for the future, for the rest of the planet?" And I said, "Well, of course, everyone here wants a better and happier planet." And since that time, he has started writing quatrains, but they're very positive quatrains. I'm not saying that we won't have bad things happening in the future, but I think that if everyone learns to live together in harmony, that and to respect each other through love and gratitude, that I think we can create a much better and happier planet. I think our future is still very bright. I don't look at these negative things happening personally. That's just me, but that's how I look at it.
Well, you know, I simply have to say, in terms of the Meyer material, since I represent that whatever people's, you know, claim their personal experiences are, that is subjective, and in truth, it can't be independently tested and validated in the same way as, let's say, testing the prophetic accuracy of the material from Meyer and the previous prophets before him, because a lot of the prophetic information in the Meyer case came from Enoch and Isaiah and Jeremiah as well, and it's been in the keeping of the Pleiar. And so what people like Dolores Cannon wanted to tell people that they can time travel back and have conversations, I would simply have to say that that doesn't accord with what the scientifically capable time travelers of the Pleiaren have said is possible. Now, you know, maybe they have fanciful ideas about how they would have liked that to have gone, et cetera, et cetera. But the very fact that, as you've said, turned out to be incorrect. So it's not, in my cosmology, it's not useful, because in the now almost 38 years that I've been, you know, studying and researching, testing the Meyer material, anything of a scientific nature that we've published, that we've found that Billy has, you know, published before our scientists have actually discovered it, we've proven that to be true. And that is so astounding. Mm-hmm. People will not be able to actually grasp that. And we have it. We've got tons of documentation where here's a copyrighted book. Billy's discussing this particular thing with Semyaze. He's told this. 32 years later, there's a new scientific discovery, and there it is. They're corroborating. Oh,
yeah, I remember, I have to agree with you totally, Michael, on that, because I remember getting interested in the Meyer case back in the 70s and the 80s, and I started reading books about him then, and all of his predictions were, like, very, very accurate. And,
yeah,
sure. And so I have a lot of respect for him. I know he's been probably ridiculed in the past.
More than that, there have been 23 attempts in his life.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
But, yeah, ridiculed, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so people have tried to kill him. But he's still alive, and I think he still, of course, both he and you, too, have an important mission to do to raise consciousness and get this information out. I have to ask you, is there a time that Billy has said, or the Pleiaren have said, that they would actually appear, like land on the White House lawn, or show up in Chicago or New York? Or
no, there had been a possible contact with a different extraterrestrial race that would have taken place around 2000, except that the Pleiaren foresaw how, and that would have been here with the U.S. But they foresaw how we were going to get embroiled in Iraq wars and terrorism and all the horrific stuff of the past 17 years. So that contact, that landing was canceled, really. Mm-hmm. The Pleiaren are not going to land, appear, meet with anybody and all of that. As a matter of fact, there are no other scientifically verifiable, provable contacts between extraterrestrials and human beings. People may want to claim that there are, and that's fine, but they have to, for my satisfaction as an investigator, they have to provide the evidence. For instance, in 2011, it was actually October 3rd at 10 p.m., I'd finished doing an interview while I was living in the mountains of Brazil. Mm-hmm. I had an impulse to get up and walk outside. It was pitch black, and there was this thing that looked like a star, and then it started to move, and for about 20 seconds, I observed it slowly descend, turn to the left, and slowly move out of view about 20 feet away from me. Mm-hmm. When I went to Switzerland the next week, Billy confirmed, yeah, that was a monitoring disc that just looked in on you, that's all. And I subsequently found a photograph from 1989 taken broad daylight in Switzerland where people are working at the center there, you know, and two of these discs got captured in the photograph broad daylight. They were not seen by the people, but they were captured in the photograph. Now, that is my experience, but I wouldn't bother to try to hang a hat on that for anybody, because it's what we call anecdotal. So, with all due respect, Dolores Cannon, that's anecdotal. Even your own experience is anecdotal. If we can't prove it, if I can't give you a real photographic evidential record that could be testable, then I call it anecdotal, even when it's my own. So what we know from the play, Aaron, is this: they are not landing here. There will be no contacts with extraterrestrials. We are so messed up right now with 100 odd wars going on the planet that it would only create chaos, not anything of benefit to the mass of humanity.
I do see a time in the coming years that I've been told by Nostradamus that the 2020s, 2030s, that the planet will become a far more happier and a peaceful place. And it'll, the process has already started now. That's what he says anyway. I wanted to ask you, Michael, quickly, you said there was a meeting that almost happened in 2000 with the United States. What extraterrestrial group was that, by the way? Were they benevolent?
Well, sure. I mean, the Pleiaren would not have been involved in any kind of a process with a hostile race coming. We wouldn't have even known it. They would have, you know, deflected that or interfered only for the sake of not messing up what's going on here. In terms of the 2020s and 30s, the problem is that if our scientists don't get around to deflecting asteroid Apophis, which Meyer first warned about in 1981, calling it the Red Meteor, it's going to slam into Eastern Europe between the North Sea and the Black Sea and create a global catastrophe, certainly a local one, but ultimately a global one. So any rosy pictures for the future, as much as I want them to be, you know, quite so as well, have to also include the waking up, the wake-up call to our scientists to get about the business of deflecting asteroid Apophis.
Interesting. I had been told by my friends in the Galactic Alliance that they will deflect that when it comes near. But anyway, that's what they've told me. So,
well, you know, the thing is, the Pleiaren, in warning about this in 1981, made it very clear that there can be no outside interference because this is a cosmic event that is in some part actually being drawn to us by the eons of negativity on this planet.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Oh, yes. Interesting. And it will take the concerted efforts of humanity, our best scientists, to deflect that and to avert that. That means we have to come together on some level. There has to be cooperation. Otherwise, we will find that the planet, you know, from that point on, will have to be recovering from massive atmospheric damage and tectonic damage and you name it. So these things happen, and we've got to be into real life.
Well, I guess that's all the more important thing for people, Michael, to get along, to live in harmony, to know that we all have the spark of the supreme being within us, and to think positively about the future. Because but I understand what you're saying too. If we don't make the right choices, this could happen. And I understand perfectly well what you're saying. But I think the majority of people on this planet have shifted, and that they do want a peaceful and happy world.
Well, I agree. The majority of people do want a peaceful, happy world. The problem is, the real problem with it is this, that not enough people know how to use their minds for helping to create such things. Mm-hmm. And this is where the Meyer material, far beyond UFOs and extraterrestrials, is really oriented. Mm-hmm. And that is the type of thing that, you know, we really try to spread out to people and let them know. The New Talmud explains that, because there are prophecies that were made 2,000 years ago, specifically by Emmanuel, even foretelling the coming of Muhammad, mm-hmm. and foretelling these times and the fires from oil wells that would darken the skies and amazing stuff. So things won't just take care of themselves. You are reaching people who are concerned and interested, and we all have to know that we have to stay on a kind of vigilance, a high alert, because there are many forces in the world that are pressing in the wrong direction.
Yes, I agree.
So this is the kind of thing.
Yeah, I agree totally. Well, that's the purpose of my program too. You know, we've got about 5 minutes left, and I want to thank you so much for coming on today, Michael. I just and I want to I've been interviewing Michael Horm. He's a representative for Billy Meyer in Switzerland, a wonderful man who's been in contact with the Pledjaren Pledians since the 1940s. What kinds of things do you recommend people do in their own lives? Does Billy say that about meditation, about maybe treating people, each other, with more love and respect? I'm just curious. People ask me that because I'd love to get your thoughts on that.
Of course. And, you know, on my website, we have a section called The Spiritual Teaching. Just, you know, everything on my website and blog are free with the exception. You go, if you want something like the New Talmud or you want any of my films on the Meyer case, yeah, you can order those. But you can read what the Pleiaren are saying to Meyer, what he's saying to them, the spiritual teaching, the prophecies and predictions, all of this for free on the website. So I say to people, look, go ahead. This is new to you. But this, if you, I get emails from all over the world, and I do no advertising outside of my website. I don't take ads out. I don't host ads on my website. I just let word of mouth propagate, you know, the awareness of this material. Yes, I'm all over YouTube and videos and films and DVDs and stuff like that. So the answer to the question is come read, question, challenge. I respond to every email, even though it takes me a little while. Sure. So if people have questions and challenges, they can ask me. And then if they want something in particular, the New Talmud, it's an amazing, amazing book. We've got more coming in. Mm-hmm. I have to put more. So that's, you know, my big promotion for anything. Free. Go ahead.
Well, that's great. That's great. I know that when the current Bible was formulated back at the Council of Nicaea in 325 A.D., that the Emperor Constantine took out all references to reincarnation in the Bible, because it said that his wife was a prostitute and she did not want to pay for her sins in that lifetime, or the next lifetime rather. So they took out all references to karma and reincarnation.
She wouldn't have paid. There is no karma, but there is reincarnation.
Yeah, there's reincarnation. Yeah, there's reincarnation. We've got about a minute or so left, Michael, and I want to thank you so much for coming on today, and I want to give you the rest of the time for some final words as well.
Sure. I really just want to, again, invite people to look at this information. This is the only scientifically proven, still ongoing UFO contact case. It's now in its 75th year because Meyer was first contacted at the age of 5. It's all voluntary, wide awake, human beings, no imaginary alien grays and reptiles and all the silly stuff. So why not find out about it? Meyer has survived 23 attempts in his life for trying to get this out. It's suppressed throughout all the mainstream media, but you can have free access to it. So I invite you to do that. And I thank you, Ted, for two and a half years later, the opportunity to speak with you and your audience.
Well, my pleasure. My pleasure, Michael. We have a lot of fascinating information, and I just want to thank you so much for sharing it with us. I think that just from my own personal viewpoint, that we're powerful spiritual beings, and we're here to work with the Supreme Being or the co-creator of all of this to create a beautiful new planet. Personally, I don't see civil war in the United States because I think that people will make the right choices to make this planet a better and happier place. But it's a possibility if people don't make the right choices, but I think they will. And Michael, I'm going to be having you on my television show soon. I'm going to be so happy about that, to have you on, and I'll let everyone know when I do. And what I'd like to do is to go ahead and finish. I think it'd be appropriate to finish this segment with some Star Trek music, and then we'll be back next week. And Michael, thank you so much again for coming on today.
You're welcome. Thank you, Ted.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.